Good morning. That was 50%. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Summer is almost over. I do have a clip that I want to play first, but I wanted to say something about it first. First of all, Pastor, this is not about you. Okay? Just so you know. Because I know that's going to be your first thought. So, would you go ahead and show this clip?
And then, fourthly, the man of God will have a devotional life. I read a survey some time ago that said 93% of seminary students in that particular denomination, wasn't the Southern Baptist, did not have a systematic devotional life. If I didn't have a systematic devotional life, I couldn't go on. I couldn't have a ministry. I don't know what you do. I don't know what you're in the ministry for. Because that's where your power comes from. Is in your closet with God, in the study of the Word, and in prayer. If our Lord Jesus had to spend all night in prayer.
I recognize that.
You recognize that. Well, this morning we want to talk about not missing the moment. And that's why I shared that. Sometimes we even get to church where we come and we know that God is supposed to come and speak to our lives, and it's so hard to think about something else or whatever, you know, fall asleep. I hate to say fall asleep because I know there's some of you who fall asleep every time I teach, and I'm okay, though. They probably never do it for you, Pastor. I want to read a story for you, all right? And the reason I'm reading it is because I tried to do it without reading it, and it never came out well, so I'm going to try reading it. A young soldier and his commanding officer got on a train together. The only available seats were across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her grandmother. As they engaged in pleasant conversation, the soldier and the young woman kept eyeing one another. The attraction was obviously mutual. Suddenly, the train went into a tunnel and the car became pitch black. Immediately, two sounds were heard. The smack of a kiss, and the whack of a slap across the face. The grandmother thought, I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him that slap he deserved. The commanding officer thought, I don't blame the boy for kissing her, but it's a shame that she missed his face and hit me instead. The young girl thought, I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it. As the train broke into the sunlight, the soldier could not wipe the smile off his face. He had just seized the moment to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer. He had gotten away with both. You know, there are times when I'm excited to talk to you about what God is laying on my heart. And then there's times where I feel like God is beating me up. Have you ever had those times? So the message is where it's I'm good at it, or it's really buried in me to, man, I wish you would get it. Those messages flow and they're easy. And then the messages that God puts me under conviction, they don't always come out so well. So I've really struggled with this. Because here's my issue, and maybe it's a lot of you men. We miss a lot of moments. Maybe it's some of you women. But I remember being on a senior trip, like we went to California, about 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember we were doing some really awesome, cool things that I just loved. And I realized I wasn't enjoying one thing I was doing. I was always looking forward to the next thing. I was never in the moment. I was preparing for the next moment. And I got to thinking about that back then, and I said something to one of the youth workers that was with me. I said, man, I am just terrible at this. And then I started looking at my own life with my kids. You know, I remember when they were really little, thinking, I can't wait till they're teenagers. I get teenagers. I get them. You know, that's what I do. And then we could play ball. You know, playing ball with the 7-year-olds, me passing them a ball, them standing me, waiting until it comes down, go chase it, bring it back. It isn't the same as, you know, them pounding me into the ground in a game of basketball. I would rather have that second one. And so So many times in my life, as I looked back at my life, I missed the moment. And it's really kind of confession time. It's kind of sad. It's kind of a bummer in my life that's what I did. But I will tell you, 5 or 6 years ago, I began working on it. So I'm here to tell you, I'm not telling you what to do because I figured it out, because I haven't. It is something I'm working on. But here's what I've learned about me. If I'm bad at it in this aspect of my life, I'm bad at it all the way through my life. It just doesn't stay in my family. It just doesn't stay in my job. It doesn't just stay here. It runs through who I am. So I started evaluating my life, says, wow, am I missing the moment with God? And that's my question for you. Do you miss moments that God has ordained for your life? Now, it's interesting. These are the areas I want you to be thinking about as I talk. And that is, you miss the opportunity of spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Do you miss opportunities where God has sent someone across your path knowing you know the truth, and then somehow we've missed it? Yeah, that one just drives me crazy. The fear of that in me is huge, because I don't want to miss that. Of all the things I might miss, if I am the truth for somebody else, to give them the truth of Jesus Christ, and I miss that, wow. But there's a lot of other things. Do you miss the opportunity to love and minister to others? Do you know God sends people into your life for you to minister to love on them? You know, and I want to say this, and I used to really be aware of it years ago when I had a really large youth group. There were kids who had come in, and they were a mess. You guys know what I'm talking about. That I even used to have some drug dealers who would show up to our youth group because there was a lot of kids. Hey, there's a lot of opportunity. And they would come in, there'd be these kids who were just obnoxious and they were problems. And we had a choice. We had a choice, either get them to be gone out of the picture somehow so we can do our thing, or we can love on them and see that how they are responding and acting is because of their own hurts and wounds, and they need Jesus. That is the answer. So when we had those kids come in, we decided that we were going to love on them. Do you miss the people that God sent to your life that may be broken? They may be broken and hurting and say the dumbest things and act the worst way, but yet God has put them in your life so you can encourage them and love them. Think about it. You think that maybe sometimes God sends people your way that you would encourage their faith? Christians with Christians. It's not just about the world and they need Jesus, because that is important, but Christians need each other. We need each other, and we need to be able to encourage each other to walk in what God has for our lives. And if we only get that on Sunday, that is not enough. It is not enough. We have small groups that we're talking about getting started up in about a month. You all need a fellowship of believers that are more than this. This is great, and I am not against this, because this is worship where we come together and we have one goal, and that is to worship the creator of the universe. But then all of us have our little hurts and wounds that we all put on our masks when we come to church, right? If we all shed what was going on in our lives, nobody would want to be here. Okay, it would be ugly. So we all put on that mask, and part of that mask I'm really grateful for. But we do need a place where we can be honest with other believers, that we can pour out our hurts and wounds and cry with each other and love each other and walk through pain. Because let me tell you something, if you haven't experienced real deep hurt and pain, it's coming. Nobody is exempt from difficulties. That's what I've learned in life. Been a pastor a long time, and I've learned that there isn't anybody exempt. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're young, if you're old, hard times come. And I remember I have a niece who wrote on Facebook that God would never give you more than you can handle. And you guys, I've talked about this before. God allows things that we can't handle all the time. He knows we can't handle. He wants us to trust him and rely on him. Walk through the fire. Don't try to skirt around it. You know what I'm saying? Are you missing moments where people have come into your life and you are there to minister even in people's faith? Man, I hope I don't miss those moments because I know that people are hurting and you need to know people are hurting around you. Do you miss moments of your own personal growth? Thinking about that. I'll come back to all those. You know, our entire calling of who God wants us to be is he wants us to worship him, to love him and love people around us. And part of that love is spreading the good news. If you have a Bible, can you turn to Luke 10, 38? And I cheated. I used my Bible and then I snapped the picture so I don't have to go back and forth. I just turned the picture. So let me just read. And if you don't have a Bible, let me just hear this because I'll go through the story again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I love that it said that had to be made, right? She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. This is Jesus' response. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, he says, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You know, I think about that story, and I know we've crucified, churches have crucified Martha for a long time over this. And I just got to thinking about, did Martha do anything wrong? See, Jesus didn't reprimand her for what she was doing. She was doing stuff. There are good things that we do. There are good things. What does he do? He says, there's something even better that Mary is doing. And in his way, he was saying that I wish you were doing. Yes, there's good things. Guys, I'm not going to get on a high horse here, but we have a lot of people who would rather serve behind the scenes, do a lot of work, stuff like that, than really get intimate with Jesus. See, Mary, she knew who Jesus was. Her desire, her thought was, this is Jesus. When he's coming into my house, maybe I prepare the house, clean it up the best I can, get it done. But when he gets here, I want to sit at his feet. I want to listen to him. That is the better thing to do. Not the only thing to do, but it is the better thing to do. So I've never been one who really crucified Martha on that because Jesus didn't say to Martha, you shouldn't be doing that. No, he pointed out that Mary had chosen the better. You're worried about a lot of things. Really, there's only one thing that you should be concerned about. Should be just one thing. So as we talk about missing the moment, Martha was doing good things and somehow she was missing the moment, wasn't she? When does our busyness end up wrong or bad? Isn't that really the question? At what point is our busyness wrong or bad? I put it in this way. When it gets in the way or causes you to miss the more important. Once again, man, it is good that we serve God. It is good that we come here and when I get here, there's somebody here who's blowing off stuff away from the building, picking up trash, people setting up the cafe, sound people are back here, the musicians are up here. They're here early, guys. They're here and they're serving. But you know what would be absolutely tragic is if their fulfillment and joy was because of that and not from coming in and sitting under and worshiping God. That is the more. Are those things necessary? Oh, my word. I'm so glad people pick up the trash. I'm so glad there's coffee back there. Wrestling me because I'm a coffee guy. Okay. I'm so grateful for that. But if you do that and you miss this, you've missed the more important. We love on people. The ushers, you love on people. Your whole job is to love on people. Why? Because that's what God tells us to do. It is so important that we love God and love others, but are you missing Him? I'm not saying a do this or. I'm saying you can love on people, be here and be fully engaged here, and then make sure you don't miss what's actually going on up here, up there, at your seat. Man, open our hearts and our lives. When we come into worship, come in and worship. Those aren't just words. This is a worship service. This is not about you and me at all. This is about God. Don't miss the more important. So I kind of figured that we can't really go too far if we don't say what is the more important, right? We can say, hey, don't miss the more important, and we don't define what the more important is. So I'm going to give you my definitions of the more important. And the first one is in Luke 27. And we all know the scriptures where Jesus multiple times, this isn't a one-time deal, says that we are to love. In this one, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, with everything you have, and your neighbor as yourself. I already shared that before, didn't I? Just a little bit ago. Don't miss that. When it comes to the more important, the most important thing is God. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, with your strength. You're not doing this because you love Pastor Leonard. I love Pastor Leonard, and I know that many of you serve and you're willing to step into a thing because you have a great relationship with him. But we need to move past that and say, you know, I do what I do because I love the Lord my God. Amen. That I'm willing to step out of my comfort, my norm, my life. I'm willing to set aside my own selfishness. You know what, guys? That's what it boils down to for many of us, isn't it? I like my time. Don't mess with, I'll come serve if I can do that within this parameter. And it has been such a blessing for us to be dealing with the Hispanic church. Casa Cristiana right there. You know what? One of the things I've noticed, because I'm over around the corner in the student center, there are people there all the time. They're just there all the time. Frankie, hi, Frank. Frankie's here. He's from that church. He's back to running sound today. And the thing I've noticed, I love that we have Frankie and others come in and serve, but what I love seeing is they are there with each other all the time. Love it. They're like, hey, there's no, hey, the door's open from this time to this time, so if you have something to do, come in at this time. What they're doing, then they're ministering to each other. We need windows washed. Well, I was out there one day. There was a couple of young men, high school kids, washing windows out there. You know, and the whole time it wasn't about the windows. They were talking. I mean, it took forever to get those windows done because I went inside my the student center and I'm working on stuff. I came out. I don't think they'd gotten two windows done. They were just enjoying being there. And I bet those windows were done amazing. It just took a while. Loved it. See, we need to understand the more important is how we look at God. How do you see God in your life? So the first thing that I will always point to is God is first. You know, I love it whenever Jesus was challenged, if you will, by the Pharisees, the religious elite. Well, what is the most important commandment? What is? And he pointed out every time. Same thing. Love God first. That is the first thing that you do in your life is love God. This busyness is great, but love God first. Then love your neighbor as yourself. You know what's funny about that? And I didn't mean to go down this road. They asked the right question. Well, who's my neighbor? Because a lot of us don't ask that question. Because your neighbor is probably the person you work with. It's probably the literal neighbor of your yard. People you run into all the time. That you bump into in life. You know, my daughter and I go to Wawa every Sunday morning. It's part of our routine. She didn't come this morning with me. I was all by myself. And I think that was God ordaining a moment for me. because I was in the Wawa and I ran into this guy and I recognized him, but I didn't recognize him. You know how that goes? So I used to live here 12 years ago for about 7 years. And so there's a lot of people I've been running into that are familiar, but I don't know who they are. And I'm standing in line. This guy walks up, Mark. And I look at him, and it wasn't a teenager. It was somebody older. And I looked at him, and I thought, man, I know this guy. Do I say anything? Do I not say anything? I have no idea his name. So I just kind of said, good morning. He said, hey, good morning. I said, how you doing today? He said, oh, it's been a rough day already. He says, it's just blah, 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 this. And he was a filthy mess. He said, now I got to go home, take a shower, and get to church. As soon as he said that, I thought, but it's church where I knew him. You know, that might looking for these little clues, figure out who the heck he is. So I took a risk. Yeah, I used to be at Cornerstone, blah, blah, blah. He says, yeah, I know who you are. Oh, no, now I feel dumber. Okay. He says, yeah, I know who you are. And he just started to, he let me know right away that he didn't know me from that church. I'm like, oh, now I'm really confused. And he said his name and where I knew him. And we got into a conversation. And it was so interesting. He had no idea I was speaking. He had no idea that I was going to be up here or that this was my subject. And we just talked for a couple minutes about some things, some connections we have. And I was heading out the door, and he was heading out the door. And I said, hey, brother, be blessed. Have a wonderful day. And he says, hey, don't miss what God has for you today. Man, I thought, I wanted to run him down and say, whoa, you're not going to believe this, but that's what I'm teaching on. I wanted to run, grab him, say, whoa, and I thought, oh, wow. I said, you too, brother. Don't miss what God has for you today. And so I got in my car and I thought, oh, you've got to be kidding. That's what I thought. I thought, no way did that just happen, okay? So the second thing that I want to cover that's important is worship. When I say worship, Sunday morning is a part of worship, okay? When I say worship, I'm talking about opening your Bible and reading what God has to say. Pastor Leonard and I, we try to read what God's Word says and try to pass on to you the truth and the principles that He's given us for your life. But you know something? You don't need us for that. We have lots of reasons you need us. But that reason, you can open your own word and say, God, show me today what I need to know. And open His word, that is worship. Spending time talking to God in prayer and listening. I've talked about this before here, that prayer is an act of worship. That is the most intimate time. And the time that scares me the most is my time in prayer. That's intimate. Where I'm being honest and real with God, and I'm listening for God to speak back to me, not in an audible voice, but to point out, God said, Bill, you're blowing it. Or Bill, hang in there. And I come to God, not as my to-do list, but to acknowledge who He is. That He is the creator of all things, the king of the universe. And He loves me in all my flawedness. I don't know if that's a word. All that I am, no matter how bumbling bad I am, He loves me and He reminds me. When we pray, God isn't pointing out where to go left, right, do this. You know what? Most of the time what God does to me, He reminds me that He loves me. I could have just fallen on my face, could have gotten a fight with my wife, could have been yelling at my kids and just totally missing it. And God, when I go to Him, you know what He does? He reminds me that He loves me. Boy, do I need to pray more often. Because I need to be reminded how much He loves me. Worship, and this is what we're doing here, is also fellowship. Guys, God's word says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm among you in the midst. Where two or more are gathered together. When we come together, the reason I think fellowship is so powerful not to be overlooked is because Pastor Leonard carries God's presence in his life, doesn't he? So does my wife. So does Twitchy. So does Chris Rain. And we go around the room, and if you have God in your life, you are carrying His presence with you. And when we come together as fellowship, it is ministering to me. That's why God's word said, don't neglect the coming together. Fellowship is important. I'm going to point out again, small group. Small group is so vital for your own growth. It doesn't have to be this. There's a million ways to do small groups. Who cares? Sorry, did I say that? What is important is that people are coming together to worship God and to walk with each other. If we could learn that as the more important part of it, what we do, the details, are almost irrelevant. Because what we do is gain trust that I can open up my life. Say, guys, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And maybe your struggle is you don't know truth. So people around can point out truth and help you walk this out. Or maybe you're going through a hardship and you just need people to love you and make sure you stay on the focus, on the path that God has. I need it in my life. I need these little bumper pads where I think I'm doing right and people are like, oh, no. Here you go. But the only people I allow to be that in my life are people who are walking with God. I don't care how long you've been walking with him and what your knowledge is. I care that your desire is him and you're walking with him. So fellowship, let's not miss fellowship. And then the last one, which none of us like, is obedience. You know what the greatest act of worship is? It's obedience. God's word says to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey his word and what he's called you to is better, the more important, than all the sacrifice and work you're doing. To be obedient is huge. It is our greatest act of worship. As an aspect of worship, it is the most important part. Because if we're obedient, we would open his word. We would be talking to him and listening to him. We would have fellowship with other believers. But obedience is tough, isn't it? Run out of time, so I'm just going to do it this. The last one is to tell people the good news. Did you know it's called good news for a reason? We throw out terms sometimes and we become pretty churchy sometimes. And the gospel is the good news. And the good news is that without Jesus Christ, people are going to hell. And it's not the finger of pointing that you're going to hell if you don't find Jesus. No. The good news is Jesus came, paid the price so you don't have to go to hell. That's why it's the good news. Guys, it is so important when we put things in priorities of what is the more important for Mary and Martha, that people that God placed in our life need Jesus. We live in a world that's pretty messed up, don't we? It doesn't take much time reading the news and reading what's going on, whether it be political, whether it be whatever. It can get real ugly. And what I've learned in time is this. The times may change and it seems crazy, but people are still people. And people need Jesus. And if you've got your eyes on the stuff they're doing, then you're missing the more important thing. Because the important thing is that people need Jesus. Oh, the arrogance, church. Oh, the arrogance to think that my failures are better than somebody else's. I know better. See, I know that when God's word says that he loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that he wasn't just talking about me because my dirt is real clean dirt. No, my dirt is dirt, okay? And when we look at others, it irritates me but breaks my heart when we look at someone and say, I'm glad they won't be in heaven. They're going to drive me nuts. We don't actually say that, but we think that, don't we? Look, that person is terrible. They deserve to go to hell. Guys, please understand. We all deserve to go to hell. See, it is only by God's grace and his mercy. He has mercy on us. And because he has mercy on me, I have no right to point fingers at anybody. I have no right to point fingers unless it's to say, hey, are you okay? Can I walk with you? Can I love on you? Can we just do this together? Don't miss the moment. All right. Here are the moments I wrote down that we miss sometimes. Serving instead of not hearing. And I talked about that a little bit. Sound tech people, I hope you hear God's word every week. I hope you're not so caught up in pointing the camera, Landon, that you're hearing the truth that is being said. Are those things important? Yes, there's people on the other end who are trying to watch this, and it is important. I don't want to downplay, just like I don't want to downplay what Martha was doing. But there is a more important thing that we can't miss. We can't miss. The tech people back there spending time and they're doing this Sunday service. The children's ministry people are back there and they're with them. There's a lot of adults back there serving our kids, which is serving us. They can't miss the moment either. They need to make sure that moment isn't doing time. It's leading children so they will know God. So when they get older, they can choose God over the other options, because those options are out there all the time, aren't they? There's so many options for kids, and if we don't build a foundation into them, we're in trouble, right? So what they're doing is important, but what is the important? Babysitting so you guys can be in here without distraction? That's not the, is that important? Yes. It could be very disruptive if we had a lot of kids there, but the more important and the key and the most important thing is that we lead them to Jesus, right? That's why they're over there. It'd be easy to fall into this doing time, doing my job thing. But it needs to be about, I need to serve them. I need to point them to Jesus. Ushers, we talked about that, the sound, music, all those people. What about this, missing the moment? Ooh, this one here is going to grate some people, and I apologize, kind of, right? Avoiding difficulties. Do you know, like I said before, that God doesn't make your life perfect. He is not, his word never says that he's never given you anything that's too hard for you to handle. We covered that. But do you understand how important it is for you to walk out the life God gives you? I remember the first big difficulty I went through years and years and years ago. I remember opening the book of James, and it said, count it all joy when you go through various trials and difficulties. I heard that and I said, that's just stupid. That's what I thought in my head. Okay, but I kept reading. And you need to check it out and read what it says. Because it goes in and talks about perseverance. And it talks about how important perseverance. It even says that perseverance must finish its work. Perseverance must finish its work so that we can be whole and complete, not lacking anything. And you know what I'm finding? There's a lot of people lacking a lot. Do you know why? Because difficulties come, and instead of persevering and walking through them, they skirt around it. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to a different church. I'm going to quit my job and get a different job. I'm going to do this. I'm this. I'm going to divorce my spouse. I'm going to do this. There are so many areas that we are now taught. Whew, and I told you it's going to be offensive to some of you, and I apologize for that. But I am tired of weak Christians. You know why you get stronger as an athlete? You know why people become amazing jumpers, throwers, all the time? Because their body, the muscles have to tear in order to grow back stronger. That's the way the body, God created our bodies. It's not a torn muscle where they can't walk, but there's a tearing, a breaking down. And lactic acid comes in and it grows back. And that's why what you eat is so important. Well, it's the same thing with us. That if we just skirt around issues, you know what we have? A bunch of babies who never grow up. And guys, it bothers me. When people are afraid to deal with their issues. I mean, when I thought about this subject, I thought, well, Bill, I mean, it comes to you. There are things in my life that I hate to deal with. I remember when I used to lift, and I used to do a lot of weightlifting. There are parts of my body that grows really fast and other parts that don't. I need to spend more time on the areas where it doesn't grow. But that's not the way my brain was working. I'd rather bench press. Give me that, you know. God loves you. He doesn't want you to be immature and lacking. Don't miss the moment. You may be in a real hard situation, a difficult situation. God doesn't want you to miss what He has for you by walking it out and doing what's right. I have another illustration, but I didn't ask her, so I'm not going to use it. I almost always ask my kids before I embarrass them. So I will skip this one. Jalen, you're safe, okay? She just took a big breath. All right, here's the other one, not serving. And we already covered that too. It's just easier to sit in the background, just gimme, 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 right? Sunday morning's a gimme time, isn't it? You guys come here early. You guys come in. Get all the music together, get it working, check all the sound, get the words upon the scriptures, get somebody else to clean up everything. You guys come there, get somebody else to do the kids so that I can come in and enjoy what you've done for me. Thank you. Missing the moment. You're missing the moment. Where do you fit in to the body of Christ? Let me tell you something. God's word is very clear on this. The church is made up of all kinds of body parts. And it is, he goes very clearly, it is foolishness to say that my big toe is not as important as my ear. Or my little finger isn't as important as my nose. We all are part of the body. There is a place for you. It isn't an age thing. It isn't anything. It's you are a part of the family in the body of Christ. Don't miss what God has for you on that. Neglecting worship, which is church. Neglecting fellowship. Neglecting small groups when they start up again. Guys, those are places we miss what God has for us. It is reiterating again, important for us to not miss what God has. Look at your life, see what God has placed your life and the people around you, and jump in. Yes, it's flawed. Yes, it's hard. If you think that your issues are more than we're willing to love you for, you're wrong. I do not care how off track you are. I want to love you. I want to walk with you and put you back on track. That's what Pastor Leonard's heart is also. We love you. Don't hold back from us because of your flawed. We're all that way. This is a facade. It is and it isn't. I try to be real with you because I love you. Pastor tries to be real to you because he loves you. Don't miss the moment. I have a challenge for all of us, which is probably pretty obvious by now. If the worship team can go ahead and come up. And this is a challenge. That you would take a risk. We don't like risks anymore. We're calculated, aren't we? I'm very calculated. I know it. I may look like I wing things a lot, but I do not wing things ever. I don't. I'm very calculated in my own thinking. I'm like, I want to get there, and I look here, and this is how I need to get there. And I'm asking you to take a risk. I'm asking you to ask God, what are the moments you miss? What are the things that you should be doing that you're not doing? What are the things you shouldn't be doing that you are doing? Who are the people God has placed in your life that are there so that you can minister and you're missing it? I can't answer that. People around you can't answer that. Go to God and ask Him. Evaluate your life. We come together so that as a group, we can grow and mature and God's presence with us. But the point is that we're in it together. We are family. Flawed, ugly, hurting, joyful, excited, all those together, we're family. And I want to be on the journey with you. I don't want to be on my own doing my own thing and watch you on your own doing your own thing. So look to God and ask Him, are you missing something? Over the next songs, worship song, the altar is going to be open. If you need to talk to Pastor, we would love to talk with you. But if you just need to go to God and say, God, what am I missing? And I will always tell you this, that if you're unsure of your relationship with God, it's very easy what you're missing. If you don't have peace in your life and you don't have joy in your life, it's very simple for me to tell you why. Because I don't care what the circumstances are happening in my life, you know what the one thing I can count on? It's my Savior. When I pray to Him, He reminds me that He loves me. He reminds me that He loves you. And there's nothing that you've done that makes you unlovable to Him. Nothing. So if you're without peace in your life and your life is miserable, maybe you just need to turn to Jesus and give that a try. Not the religion, but the Savior, the healer, the person who loves you. So we're going to open this time up. Come pray, come stand, rejoice, sing. You may not be going through hardship. Praise God. Enjoy it. But share.